That sound we're hearing, it's not radio interference. It's scratching.
One of our big monitors scratching at the corner of his cage.
That's reptile enthusiast Owen Mertz at the East Bay Vivarium. And he's talking about a giant lizard called an Argus monitor. This scratching Argus monitor lives alongside approximately 10,000 other animals at the East Bay Vivarium, which is a specialty reptile and amphibian shop on 5th Street in Berkeley. It's been operating for more than 40 years as both a store and a hands-on educational center of sorts. Sometimes staff members will even take a reptile or two out of their cages so visitors can get up close. Visitors, including KALW's Rachel Wong.
Somebody asked me to put these guys asked me to put a pair of $20.
I'm standing in the back of the bustling East Bay Vivarium with its co-owner, Owen Merckx. We're looking through the glass of a large cage at a lizard that's nearly as long as I am tall.
His name is Elmo. He's a good guy. People love him.
Elmo is a giant black throat monitor. He looks nothing like the Sesame Street Muppet with the same name, but apparently their personalities have some things in common.
People don't expect that an animal that big and fearsome looking is actually a big sweetheart, but he is.
I don't totally see it, but I'll take his word for it. We move on to the next cage. The vivarium feels a lot like a neighborhood hardware store, but instead of drills or bolts, there are rows of turtles, frogs, lizards, and the occasional aquarium accessories. Down crowded aisles, where you might otherwise find toilet snakes, the snakes on display here are real.
Right now we're walking down our monitor aisle, which is our large lizards and large boa constrictors and pythons, and assorted other odds and ends.
When he says large, he means it. The albino Burmese python in the corner cage is over 15 feet long.
One of the reasons we have the giant snakes in here is some stores will sell a baby python without ever giving anybody the indication of what to expect. So we like to have examples of what is this going to turn into.
It's important people know what they're getting into because otherwise they end up back at the store returning pets they can't take care of. That's how the vivarium gets some of its animals. Others are purchased from wholesalers, and others come from the breeding room in the back of the store. That room is filled with incubators and baby animals, and it's off limits to customers. So we move down the next aisle. Merckx takes a small snake out of its cage for a closer look.
Fantastically beautiful pattern on top. Nobody could deny that, right?
Yeah. Could I touch him?
Sure. But flip it over, there's a totally different pattern there.
Wow,
equally nice.
The black and white pattern on the underbelly of the bright orange corn snake looks undeniably cool, like piano keys, and feels slippery. I suddenly wonder if I should be wary about touching any of these reptiles.
We have some mildly venomous snakes. Nothing I would consider dangerous. Probably the most dangerous animal we have in the store in terms of venom is beaded lizards, so a lizard that's venomous, and it won't kill you, but it might make you wish you wanted to die.
Turns out the beaded lizard Merckx is talking about is in a cage near my feet. I'm only mildly reassured by its metal lock as I scurry past. The vivarium has been open less than an hour, and it's already abuzz, mostly with people picking up pet supplies, workers caring for animals, and the occasional kids and parents wandering the aisles.
Look what a good climber he is.
Yep.
Then it's time for a feeding. Manager Carlos Haslam goes to the back room and returns with a yellow chick. That's when my adrenaline really starts pumping.
Yeah, this is called a scrub python. They're one of the largest arboreal snakes on the planet.
Haslam tosses the chick into the python's cage. The snake wraps his body around the chick till it passes out and then takes it whole down the hatch. I can't believe I'm watching this, but Haslam tells me he thinks most people are fascinated by feedings.
Kind of mechanically efficient, don't you think?
So fast.
Efficient, yes, but I'm ready to move on, for sure. The mood finally lightens as we shift our attention to some reptile mating rituals just across the aisle. Haslam pulls a male bearded dragon out of his cage. The lizard immediately notices a female in the cage above him. He stares at her and waves his legs like he's swimming in place.
If he could have access, I'm sure he would be all over her like white on rice.
Haslam tells me that reptiles and amphibians aren't the only ones doing a mating dance at the vivarium.
It's pretty typical. If a woman brings her boyfriend down and the woman pretends to be afraid, then she's looking for the comforts of that man. If a man does it, he might be looking to show his softer side to the woman.
Lovers and lovers of reptiles, I'm starting to wonder about the type of people who take this on as a hobby.
The face of the hobby is kind of eclectic. We have soccer moms from Danville. We have gangsters from Oakland. We have kids from Marin.
Owen Marks has his own theory about what makes reptile owners tick.
More traditional pet, saying dogs and cats and the big cytokines, the big birds. People like those because in the end, they're substitute babies. The thing with reptiles and arachnids and things like that is different. It's not you making them into little humans. It's them letting you into their world. And that is as wonderful an experience as you can have. Not being yourself for a little while, that's incredible. That's great.
Possibly even greater than that are these moments of affinity you may end up sharing with an animal so completely different than you. Before I head out, I stop by Rudy the tortoise's cage. He opens his mouth wide and yawns, and I can't help but smile. Who would have thought a tortoise could make my heart melt just a little? In Berkeley, I'm Rachel Wong for Cross Currents.